Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Chwaba.
This is Nightlight, and we are broadcasting statewide. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with me. We are halfway through the week, folks. That does something for some people, but not necessarily for me. I'm in no hurry for time to pass. I know the weekend will get here one of these days, a couple days, and I'm not sweating it. Just going to enjoy every single day of beautiful weather in the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from City Deck Landing at WGBW here in downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me wherever you are in the state. Conrad is back. Conrad, you've had a night to kind of decompress in your own house. How's that? How was that? Good to be back in your own bed?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I slept. I fell asleep like 30 minutes after the show and woke up at 10.
So, 10 this morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
I slept for a lot of hours last night. I feel good.
That's fantastic. Good to be home?
Yes, it is great to be home.
How were you, like, ready to come? You were, all right, for those of you that didn't know, Conrad was in Italy or thereabouts for like 2.5 weeks. He was off.
Yep.
And was it too long, or could you have stayed another week, or was it just right?
Oh, I think the sweet spot would have been like a week and a half.
Okay.
Because those last like 3 days, I was like, you know, I really miss my apartment and my bed right now.
Funny. It's kind of cool though, because like, you know, you're a young single guy. I'm sure your apartment is not luxury or, you know, like a penthouse, but it's yours. It's your space. And that is so great that you can appreciate one of the little things in life, just your own little space in your little pocket of the world. That's so cool.
I miss just making food for myself.
See, that I don't think I'd miss.
Well, no, it was fantastic food over there and everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, I'm just like, you know, I could just like, a burger would be nice.
So what did you have over there? Did you have a lot of pasta or a lot of sauces? And tell me what you had.
Yeah, I had a lot of pasta, pretty much every flavor you could imagine, every kind of pasta you could imagine. And a lot of pizza.
Really?
And I don't think pizza over here is kind of going to suck for me for a while. It was so good. Oh, because they do the tomato sauce, you know, obviously, but they do just an olive oil base with cheese on it.
I know. I love that.
Oh, it's so good.
I like that better than tomato. I can't do red sauce anymore. It just doesn't do it for me necessarily.
I like Alfredo on pizza now too. Like, well, just with chicken, obviously, but I had that too. And I tried a bunch of new foods as well. I tried calamari for the first time.
Oh, really?
And I really enjoyed it.
You can get that here at the Olive Garden, you know.
I don't know about that good, you know.
Probably not.
But yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think I was going to like it. Because, you know, they did have, like, the actual tentacle still on it.
Oh, that, wow, really?
And that, like, throws you off. But when you tried, you're like, okay, that was actually really good.
That is some good tentacle. So what is the best food you had over there? Like, if you, you know, what's the best?
There was this, when I was in Rome, so I went on a cruise for 14, or no, I forget how long it was.
time passed, was not important.
No, time passed different there. The last 4 days I was in Rome.
Okay.
And there was this little, like, corner store slash pizza, pasta, all that stuff. And I had this pizza there, and it was just ham, olive oil, and cheese. And it was, I think that was the best pizza I've ever had.
No kidding. Ham.
Yeah, and they don't put it just like, they don't cook the ham on it. They just put the ham on it after it's done.
Wow. I got to tell you, I don't really do ham anymore, but that sounds really good. I would definitely do ham for that.
Oh, it was so good.
Okay.
And then you could also do a liter of beer.
Okay.
So it was a Peroni.
Peroni beer?
Yep. liter of Peroni beer and that pizza.
And some tentacles. It's like the tentacles are like in a fry carton right next to the pizza. That's so cool. Yeah. Well, let's, we got sidetracked there. I want to hear more though, but let's, yeah. Tonight we have a really good show, folks, and it's good to have Conrad back and awake tonight. He was, you rallied last night though, I will say.
I
came in here, you were not doing too well, but you did manage to pull together.
Just a little bit of caffeine helped me, you know?
Yeah. We have a great show tonight, folks. A very good friend of mine, a guy who I call one of my best friends, Jamie McShane, will be here at 7:35. He's an actor. You've seen him in Sons of Anarchy, The Lincoln Lawyer, Bosch. He's on a very popular show right now called Wednesdays on Netflix. And he's kind of all over the place, but he's going to join us tonight at 7:35. We'll talk a little bit about his career, what you can see him in, tell a couple funny stories. It'd be great to talk to Jamie at 7:35. And then Anya Esther joins us at 8:35 to explain something to me that I have no idea what it is. I'm taking a leap of faith here, Conrad, because Anya is so sharp, and she said, this is really interesting, and I still don't understand it. It's called back rooms.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is either.
And I had to look up the word liminal. I kind of thought I knew what it meant, but I didn't. So I'm totally trusting Anya is going to shed some light on this because it looks cool and creepy, but I still don't know what it is. So how's that for a tease? She'll be here at 8:35. And tonight's question, I thought this was really funny. Todd Michaels, who produces the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW in the morning and WISS, he sends me information every once in a while, as he does the guys in the morning, that it's just kind of, they're just kind of cool tidbits or factoids, whatever you want to call them. So here's what he sent. Here's the article. Do you live with someone who casually critiques your dietary choices? Like, Cheez-Its again, huh? Well, now they've got reinforcements on the way in the form of AI. So your spouse doesn't have to keep after you. I think this is kind of good, but it gets better. Researchers in Canada are working on a new AI that can identify different foods so it can watch what you eat and shame you for it. It's not ready for prime time yet. Right now, it can just calculate how much food is in your spoon or is on your spoon or plate with about 95% accuracy. It can't identify exactly what you're eating yet, but they're confident it will get there. Once that happens, it would use cameras to track what you eat. So someday soon, Alexa might watch you open a bag of chips and say, are you sure you want to do that? You've already consumed too many calories, fatty. I added the fatty. AI wouldn't say that.
Well,
unless you wanted it to. Yeah, you could. It could be programmed. So tonight's question, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? For me, it would be chips. My weakness are chips and soda, and I don't drink much soda anymore, but once in a while, I crave a cold soda with real sugar. Not that that's healthy, but it's a little better than the high fructose corn syrup sodas, I think, I hope. So I would let Alexa, AI, whomever, Siri, shame me into not eating chips. And I would have it call me names. Put the bag of chips down, Tubby. Hey, Chubbs, are you sure you want to eat that? I would add all of those things to shame myself. Our question to you tonight, our loyal listeners, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I cannot wait to see these answers. There's so much, you know, you could go sweets, you could go salty stuff. Some people probably don't want to eat cake or cookies, ice cream. What about you, K-Man?
You know, it would be set for anything after like 9 p.m. or 10.
Okay.
It's like, if I crave anything, it's just going to be like, are you sure you want to eat this late?
Yeah.
And that's, but I think the main thing would be chips as well. Sometimes you just crave just a nice Ruffles chip.
See, that's at least, those aren't as bad for you because it's just potatoes and salt if you look at the ingredients.
Well, if you want the flavoring too, then.
Yeah. And where it gets crazy is with the flavors or, you know, Doritos, you know, Fiesta Doritos or whatever they are, you know, or the Sun Chips with all the powder on them and stuff. That's,
you know,
that's trouble.
Sun Chips, garden salsa is my favorite chip
Those are good.
Of all time.
Of all time?
Yep.
Wow. Did your homework for tonight's show. Conrad is back in force. I like the garden salsa. I will. You don't see it everywhere, though. You have to go to like a big grocery store to make sure they have it. So, I don't know. That's a tough one. All right. The other thing we need to get to here is Civic Media is doing its Scani Summer Text to Win contest. We are saying what the keyword is every hour. You have to text in what the keyword is and be eligible for daily prizes and be eligible for the grand prizes. And the grand prizes are really cool. Conrad, have you seen the grand prizes?
I have, and they're
awesome.
Oh, they look so great.
Fort Atkinson Cottage on a Lake, including a pontoon boat. I've never driven a pontoon boat, but I would take a chance. Lake Geneva, stay at Harbor Shores, beautiful place. Door County stay, the Ridges Inn and Suites. Those are the grand prizes. There is one daily winner, like a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, which Conrad says are very excellent seats, and I will agree with them. And then hourly, there's also one winner per hour, the Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. So you need to text in tonight's keyword, or today's keyword, I guess I should say, and let us know, and we will put your name into the running tonight. Today's Scani keyword is trip, T-R-I-P. Trip. I should have let you read that, Conrad, because you just got done with a trip. That is our Scani Summer Contest keyword of the day. So text that in and be eligible for really, really cool prizes for our really cool listeners. Also, I want to hear, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? I say chips. Conrad said, wait, what was your actual answer there?
It was chips as
chips.
Well.
Okay, so we both want nothing to do with chips. Because they're too easy to eat.
Yeah.
So text us and let us know. Basically, let us know what food you don't want to eat. You want to be shamed into not eating. Jamie McShane is here at 7:35. That's going to be a fun talk. He's a great actor. I'm going to read some texts next, and we'll talk about Conrad saw the Fall Guy. There's a lot going on. Great to have you with me. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby, here she comes now. Walking with a love, with a love that's so, so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. You'll never walk alone. And you're forever. So, Tony Zimmerman checking in on the feed on YouTube. He says, I see McShane and immediately think Sons of Anarchy. Jamie McShane was in Sons of Anarchy. He played an Irish gunrunner. And, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but the way they write him out of that show is really cool. He had a really good run on that show. So, that's one and the same, Tony. He'll be here at 7:35. Thank you for listening, pal. Anya Esther, that's all I call. She says, the back rooms, Pete. The back rooms. See, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Conrad. This is a mistake. Anya's going to talk circles around me. She's lucky I like her, and I trust her. Stacy Sue Johnson says, ice cream with chocolate syrup cookie dough. Oh, and cookie dough. Okay. So Stacy Sue would let AI shame her into not eating ice cream with chocolate syrup and cookie dough. That's a good one. That'll pack on the pounds pronto. She says the grocery stores have edible cookie dough now. Well, it's all edible, but it used to be unsafe. And Stacy says, hi, Pete and Con. Hi, Stacy. Silent J says, hey, Pete. Hi, Silent J. Great to have you with us tonight, buddy. He's taking a break, I think, from the water. Silent J. He goes out with Ed the Diver, and they collect lures and they clean up garbage. They do really, really cool, amazing work. Silent J is from my hometown. And my guess is whenever I see Silent J here, I figure he's just had it with the water and he needs a break. And he's like, I'm freezing. I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to listen to Nightlight. Great to have you with us, buddy. Tony Zimmerman says, absolutely pop. I want to drink less of it anyway. I do too. And that would be mine. Chips and soda would be what I would let AI shame me into not eating. And you made a, oh man, she made an emoji. I don't know. Anya, I'm trusting you. That's all I'm saying. I think you're tops, and I know you're going to tell us what this is, and I'm very much looking forward to it. We've got more text here on the text line. Sherry checks in, and she says hello. Sherry says, oh, Pete, did I miss the summer word? No, you didn't. What was it, Conrad? Trip, right?
It is trip.
It is trip. So text us, Sherry, and get in on the fun. She says, hi. Welcome back, Conrad, again. Greg from Waukesha. Oh, he came in with the text word. Sherry's saying yum, and I don't know. She's probably saying yum to everything I don't want to eat.
I think she texted that during
is that for the pizza?
My pizza.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would not want to get that confused. I would, if AI told me not to eat a pizza like that, I would tell AI to mind its own business. Sherry says chocolate she would not want to eat. And Tom from New Berlin says chips and sour cream and onion dip. Oh, that's a great flavor.
That's a good
Those
one.
Those are addicting. Paula, welcome back from Italy. Paula, I trust she had the same pizza you did, Conrad. She says cookies are hard to say no to. Now, Conrad's not saying anything, even though I'm talking about his mom. Here's all I can picture right now is you and your mom had huge arguments the entire time. Mom, I'm not putting on sunblock. Leave me alone.
Actually, I was very good with sunblock.
Were you?
I didn't want to get sunburnt and be miserable.
That would be brutal, wouldn't it?
I actually got sunburnt the day before we flew out to Italy because I went golfing, and I didn't think the UV would be that. But it was at like a 7 or something. So my arms were
7
just,
UV? That's like nothing.
For my skin, it takes UV 6 around there, so...
Wait, there's like 15, 30, 45, 70. You're saying 7 is the UV?
Yeah, the UV of the sun going down onto your skin.
Oh,
you
I
know.
See what you're saying.
Yeah, not like the SPF.
Oh, that's different, right. Wow, that's a recipe for a very bad sunburn. Sherry says, can you bring your dog? I don't know what that means.
to the Brewer game that you could win?
Oh, and if she wins the grand prize, you know what? Probably. I don't know. And I'm so unsure of that. And my voice went prepubescent. I don't know how to reel that back. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwab is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison. That is a delightful place. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. Get in on the summer, Scotty summer giveaway trip. Great prizes, and the texts are rolling in. That's fun. Conrad, you saw Fall Guy today.
I did, unfortunately.
Not great, is it?
It's the problem with the movie is that it's so predictable.
Right.
You know who's going to be the bad guy, like instantly.
You know, when that came out, they promoted the heck out of it at the Oscars and everything. And I was like, okay, I saw the film and I thought it looked like a movie that someone sat down and said, I want to write a summer blockbuster. And they tried to put all this generic crap in there.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. Wasn't that interesting?
They just tried to put those, you know, those big actors in it and like, yeah, this should work.
Right.
But yeah, it was... okay, I won't watch it again probably.
Right.
It wasn't terrible where I turned it off. Just the nice medium.
I would say that and Roadhouse were both big disappointments for like action kind of kick-ass movies that I was sort of looking forward to.
Yeah.
Kind of a drag. I thought this was funny. I do these Hollywood beats here at Civic Media. If you have not checked out, by the way, the Civic Media News Roundup, you have to do it. Go to the webpage. At every station, there's a little box up at the top. You can click on the Civic Media News Roundup. You get sports, weather news, and I do my Hollywood beats on there. You get everything you need in about 9 minutes. It's just a great way to stay informed, and the best way to do it is on the Civic Media app. But I did this will be in my beats tomorrow. Tom Hanks and Henry Winkler don't like each other. Now, it kind of baffles me. Two of maybe the most likable guys on the surface, at least in Hollywood. I'm not saying they don't have a skeleton here or there where they cursed out a PA or yelled at the director or whatever. They don't like each other. And all I could think about was the two of them throwing down. These two nice guys. Apparently, Henry Winkler was going to direct a film called Turner and Hooch. And Tom Hanks was Turner or Hooch. I think Hooch was the dog. And the dog, Henry Winkler said the dog liked him. Tom Hanks did not. And he didn't really elaborate. He kind of said something that happened one day in Carmel, but it wasn't like, it's like, wow, that set Tom Hanks off. And he had Henry Winkler replaced on the movie. Tom Hanks was already big enough at that point in his career. And Henry Winkler got bounced. But I thought it was funny thinking of the two of them fighting. Like, talk about a Hollywood fight. Two nice guys. Maybe one of them's a badass. I don't know. One of them could have come out swinging and, like, totally dropped the other one. But that could be maybe that should have been our question, Connor. Who would win in a fist fight, Henry Winkler or Tom Hanks?
I got Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I probably do, too. He's a little bigger. But Henry Winkler, he was the Fonz. Some of that had to carry over, right?
Henry Winkler looks pretty old for his age. I mean, Tom Hanks is getting up there too, you know, but
yeah, be good to see though. You're welcome to weigh in on that, folks, too, or anything we're talking about. You guys know that we love when you're part of the show. Jamie McShane will be here in a few minutes. We have an awesome news break by the great Civic Media News team coming up, and then I'll squeeze a couple more texts in here. Sherry from Oregon says, yes, the contest, not the ball game. Okay. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad checking in. Pie and ice cream is a bad habit after 8 p.m., but it tastes so good. I think that's a good habit then, Steve. I'm with you. And Tony Zimmerman says, the Fonz beats aliens. He could take Hanks. I love it. And Ed the Diver, being a nice guy is pretty tough. Totally agree. That's some great diver wisdom right there. Thank you, Ed. Great to hear from you, buddy. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great actor Jamie McShane coming up next.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwab.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have you with me, wherever you are. In your part of the state, your pocket of the world. Hope you're having a swell day. Anya Esther will be here at 8:35 tonight to explain something to me I know nothing about called The Backrooms. And I'm excited about that. I always like learning new things, and I don't know much, so it's fun. But right now, my day just got a lot better because I'm about to welcome a very dear friend to the show and an extremely talented actor. I've had the opportunity as his friend to watch his career he has been crushing it for the last like 15, 20 years. And it is a pleasure to have him on Nightlight tonight. Jamie McShane joins me now. Jamie, hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah. How you doing,
right,
buddy?
I did something right. How you doing, Pete? It's been a while. It's good to see you.
I know. It's great to see you too. It's so weird since I've been doing this show. Most of my talking to friends has been on the show via this camera. So if that's all I can do right now, I can't afford to fly to LA every weekend. So this is what I'll take. It's great
to
see.
That's okay. I had no idea. I had to download an app like 2 minutes before I was downloading the app.
And you did it successfully.
I had to scramble for my passwords and all that. So I'm glad you got me.
Oh, I appreciate the effort. I know you're all right. So before we get into what you're doing right now, I love the way we met because most of the people I know in show business, I met in some facet of show business, whether I was writing or doing stand-up comedy or whatever. You and I met at the park, just taking our kids there. Your kids are a little younger than mine, and we just got to talking one day, and we became good friends. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. Yeah, mostly it's a school in the park, yeah. I think Luke's older than Katie, right?
I think he is, maybe by a year, yeah.
Yeah, Katie's in between my two boys.
Right. And then Joe was a little older. And we just, it was, you know, what was great about going to the park too with your kids is, listen, I love my kids. I know you love your kids, but like when you could just let them run crazy and just find another adult you like to talk to, it's like the greatest thing ever. So
it was great. It was, was the relief we needed.
Exactly. It was really a magical time. It was like, and then we started like kind of doing cookouts and you guys had come over swimming. And then you and I discovered we both love scotch. And that was trouble, but it was fun.
That was trouble. That was great trouble.
Do you still drink scotch?
I do. Do you?
You know what, Jamie? I have not had a drink in a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, and it really sucks.
I'm sorry about that.
But it's fun to talk about drinking. I enjoy that. So, but I'll probably listen. I'm not a quitter. I haven't given up completely. I will drink at some point. But I got to tell you, it feels pretty good. So.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get to that level one day.
don't hurry. But before we, I want to say one other thing to you that I thought was funny. I've had this discussion with other actors on this show that talk about IMDb and their credits. And our kids went to the same school and I was charged with doing this literacy movie. I did it 2 years and you were nice enough to be one of the actors in it, as well as a lot of other people who are working actors. Cause that it was LA and that was who the parents were. Right. Well, one guy who was like a PA on a literacy movie at a school posted everything on IMDb. So you guys with all these real credits have this ridiculous thing called the Disco Principle on your IMDb page.
But it's such a great title. I mean,
well, yeah,
it's such a great title. So why not? It's just, it's another credit. It's the same as any other job. You know, I mean, not quite the same, but
yeah, you didn't get any money
to work and it was for you and a good cause. So
it was really fun to do, but I just thought that was funny. And I contacted IMDb and I said, listen, you got to take this down. This is a kid's literacy movie. And I think the guy who posted it, I think he was trying to get his kids into the business and he wanted them to have a credit, which is fine.
Did they take it down?
They did not take it down. They said, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Yeah, keep it up there. I'm very proud of it.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it up.
You're very proud of it. Is it on your reel?
it's the first thing on my reel.
All right, it stays up. There you go. So you got so much going on, buddy. I mean, you're doing this. You told me today you're in Philly doing Task for HBO. I have to say, I don't know much about that show. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a new show. It'll be out next winter. I mean, next probably March. It's one of I think it's HBO's only new show they're doing. I'm not sure. But it's starring Mark Ruffalo. And it's Brad Inglesby, who created Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet.
Oh, yeah.
It's his next show. He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, as is Mark Ruffalo. They rank up there with you, Pete. it's just, I think it's probably the most amazing job of my career thus far.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been beautiful. It's been such a great experience. And I'm so grateful that I'm on it.
That's so cool. We've talked about Mark Ruffalo on the show periodically because he's a Wisconsin native. And I loved him in Poor Things, but what you just said reminded me of another thing. You were on the show Bloodline, shortly after I left LA and we were hanging out a lot. And then you said, yeah, Kyle Chandler's my new Pete. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, buddy. Just because
you moved away. He still drinks scotch, I think.
Oh, well, he's got the, he's probably a better guy all around. So I'm happy mentioned in the same company.
You're both great guys. Task is like, it's like Bloodline. In the writing is so good. The actors are so good. I feel so fortunate to be a part of it. And the people are so nice. And that was like Bloodline as well.
Are you at the point now where, like, just preparing for this, like, I knew all the stuff I wanted to ask you. And then I was like, well, I should see what else he's been up to because I know the basics. But you have so many credits now. Are you like at the point where you turn down a lot of work or are you like,
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I got to put kids through college.
Yeah.
And I love to work and it's not, I mean, I still audition. I still have to put myself on tape. I mean, occasionally I get an offer here and there. But no, I love what I do. And I think I'm very fortunate to get any job at any time. And it just so happens that right now at this time and in this little pocket of my career, this bit after the strike, I have a lot going on and I feel extremely fortunate because a lot of people in the business are not working right now.
Right. How did you get through the strike? Was that rough? Do you save your money for something like that, Jamie?
I save up my money for anything, and that happened to be what the thing was at the time. And then, you know, I'd walk the picket line. I'd try at least once a week and just, you know, tried to play a lot of tennis and stay sane.
You said you're going back and forth to Ireland for episodes of Wednesday, the show on
Netflix. I went a couple of weeks ago. I went to Ireland, which is one of my favorite places to be. So it's leaving this show, which I love. I absolutely love the character, everything about it. Going to Ireland, which is one of my favorite places in the world, and working for Tim Burton.
Oh my gosh, it was pretty
amazing.
Wow.
And then I'm going back around 4th of July, I think.
So what is that like? Like, obviously you just said you do all these gigs because you like to work, but what's it like?
If I can get them, it's not like there's no guarantee. Like I just kind of lucked out right now, you know?
I don't know about that. I mean,
thank you.
I've seen your work. you know your way around. But what's it like when you're when you get a hit show, like a show that get critics love and that maybe you get mentioned in, like Lincoln Lawyer or Wednesday, I know is a very popular show.
Yeah. It's amazing. I don't think I get mentioned much because I'm usually a little bit lower on the food chain, especially on Wednesday where there were such extremes. I mean, Jenna Ortega is such an extreme talent and she just blew up, and she's a very sweet kid and she worked so hard. But then you also have, you know, Louis Guzman, and you have Catherine Zeta-Jones, and you have you know, so many other and talented, and then a lot of the young kids. So when people want to see the young and the famous, and then there's the old, you know, kind of crotchety sheriff, so they don't it's like you don't get much recognition. But I'm thankful to work and to be on a project that is amazing.
So you've worked with some pretty big directors, you know, really phenomenal ones. On Mank, you worked with David Fincher, and also on Gone Girl, I think David Fincher directed.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck and Argo. Who's the best director you've worked with, and what were your opinion of those guys?
It has to be you on Disco Principal.
Boy, I lobbed that one up there for you, didn't I?
I don't know. I mean, I love working for Fincher, and I love working for Tim Burton. I can't distinguish, like, oh, this one's better. They're so different. I mean, Fincher does so many takes. He's very funny. He's extremely intelligent. And then Tim is fun, and he's a little quirky, but not as quirky as I thought he was. And he's a little more simple. And yet, I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's just different styles. It's different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought Ben was great. Ben Affleck was great with Argo. He was a very good director, and I got to work with him as an actor a little bit on Gone Girl. He was very nice. So, yeah, I can't really say, oh, this is my favorite director.
Okay. Is Fincher really intense? Like, his movies can be so intense, Jamie. Like, I always picture him being like this guy that, like a mad genius or something on the set, or has he just come across as a regular guy? I'm just curious.
More a regular guy than not, but he's not a regular guy. He's so smart, and he knows every aspect of the business down to the bottom, whatever. But he's funny. He's a really funny guy. So yes, there's an intensity to the filming because of the subject matter sometimes, but he's pretty cool.
He looks like he'd be a cool guy. But I think if I showed up on a set and he was the director or one of these guys, like, I think that would be really intimidating. You've been around now. You probably don't get rattled at all, but,
not true. I mean, Fincher's intimidating. He is, but he's also, I think because I got to work with him a little bit on Gone Girl, and he was very kind and very, like, he seemed excited that I was working on the project. I hope he felt that way when the project was done, but
yeah,
you know, but no, he's a sweet dude.
That's pretty cool. My guest is Jamie McShane. He's an actor, and he's got a list of credits a mile long, and he's done just some amazing work. What are your favorite roles to play, Jamie?
Wow, favorite roles to play. I don't know. I can say, like, my favorite roles I've done, probably definitely this one, the one on Bloodline, Mank. And then I did a little film around the world. We went around the world in a month, a very low budget film for a friend of mine called Busman's Holiday. And I was the lead in that. And I love that. But I don't know that I have a definite, and I'm doing this show 1923. I play a U.S. Marshal. I love period pieces. That's fun. I don't know. That's a good question.
I got to tell you, you do the conflicted, I mean, this is just a testament. And you need great actors to play these roles. Someone who's really troubled. Your role on Bosch. I'd like to talk to you about that, too, when we're going to do a quick thing here. But my guest is Jamie McShane. I want to ask you this, too. Who wins in a fight, Jamie? Tom Hanks or Henry Winkler?
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Wow, I mean, it's like a no-brainer.
I mean, what?
It's like a no-brainer. Everybody just says
no,
that.
I'm trying to think this through now because I'm thinking of different things. I think Tom would just be taller and hit him, but then Henry might come underneath and do some damage.
And Henry's a good dancer. You think you could see him breaking out into soft shoes somehow, almost like a martial art.
I think if he went retro into the Fonzie mode, he might really have a good. I didn't really think so this through. I kind of answered on the top of my head, but
all right, think it over. We'll have you. We'll solidify it. We'll nail down your answer in just a second. Jamie McShane is my guest. Check out his work on IMDb and then go find it because it's great. We'll have more with Jamie coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some great texts. Our question tonight is, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? And that's where things are headed, folks, with AI. But you know what? If it helps me eat less chips, I'm all for AI. I have no problem with that. So let us know what you think. We've gotten some great texts so far. We'll read those shortly. Right now, my guest is Jamie McShane, the actor. Jamie, it's got to be so cool, you know, and I don't know how often you you experience this, but you've worked so much now. And even tonight, when we put out the poster to advertise your appearance on the show, Tony Zimmerman, another employee here at Civic Media, said, "Oh, Sons of Anarchy, Jamie McShane, I love him." Like, you kind of have, you know, I'm not saying it's like if you went somewhere that you can't even go to the bathroom because fans are mobbing you, but it's got to be cool that you're recognized, right?
It's very flattering. It's very fulfilling that, like, oh, wow, I've done enough to that some people know who I am. They usually don't know my name, but and it'll be from random things. It'll be, you know, Sons and often Bloodline. When Wednesday first came out, it was that. And then sometimes the Fosters I find it very, I guess, rewarding. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know if how much you see Scott Clace these days, but when I still lived in LA, Scott and I went to a baseball game and he's been on the show on the anniversary. I think when Bosch dropped, we had Scott on to talk about his role. And I told him, I reminded him of the story and he remembered it. We were leaving Dodger Stadium and this gangbanger, I thought he was just going to kill Scott. He looked like the meanest dude ever. And, you know, he goes up to Scott. I'm like ready to have his back if I have to.
Right.
And thank God the guy goes, "Man, I just want to tell you, you're my favorite actor in the world."
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome.
How amazing is that?
It was incredible. And I could tell Scott was a little off put at first because this guy looks so mean, but he was like a big teddy bear. It was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
So you did a season on Bosch, and that has become one of my favorite shows. I've fallen in love with LA cop shows over the years. And I know that you do Lincoln Lawyer too, and it's, I think it's the same either author or producers or something, but can you talk?
Same author, Michael Connelly.
Michael Connelly, yeah. Okay. And first, if you would, talk about your experience on Bosch. You played a really conflicted character named Frank Sheehan, who is estranged from his family, and you were accused of this horrible crime. And you had to cry a lot, not like bawling, but like just sitting there so troubled. How hard is it to do that as an actor?
Unfortunately, with the way life has gone with certain things, and you know, things happen to your kids and things have happened in your own life. And you, for me, I learned to draw upon, you know, first it was stuff that happened to me when I was young, and then, you know, someone close to me died, and then I could pull that in, and then something happened to, you know, I just sort of pull into that stuff. And as I've gotten older, it's easier, and unfortunately there's more stuff to pull into, and I find it harder to get out of. Like when I get into that zone, it's harder to shake it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's been interesting.
So like after a scene like that, are you saying like you go back to your trailer and you got to like shake yourself out of it, or do you snap
even
out
sometimes,
of it?
Even sometimes for an audition, like if I have to go that dark, I mean, it may take the rest of the day to like come down. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it gets, I was doing this bit on Wednesday and I had to get a little sad, and I just triggered, some stuff got triggered. Actually, of like pushing Luke on the swing when he was a little boy, and like looking back on the last 20 years of, you know, his life and, you know, my whole life. And it just, that bit triggered me, and I went down a dark slope, which was needed for the scene. And it was hard to come out. Yeah.
Boy, that is intense. I'm glad you shared that, because I think a lot of actors or just people have stuff in their life, but they can't just pull it and draw from it that quickly. You know what I mean? Like, because I know exactly what you're talking about, but for you to be able to access it like that and use it is really so cool for your art.
Yeah, it's been interesting as I've developed, you know, with a guy with really not any real training, just kind of going at it and finding my own way, and then all of a sudden, you know, stuff comes a little quicker, I guess, just with age and stuff.
Yeah.
I will say though, Bosch, they called me back this year for Bosch Legacy.
Yeah.
For the same character. I was so honored and so touched. So when Bosch Legacy, the new season, comes out, I'm back in the first episode.
As Frank Sheehan.
Correct.
So now I'm trying to remember back. Did you go to jail during that season?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That is so cool that they're bringing you. Now I'm really excited.
I was really touched, because it was like the strike had just ended, and all of a sudden I get a phone call, and it's from, you know, a show that I love to do. Titus Welliver is such a nice guy.
Is he?
That
whole, cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's a great, great guy. He's a great actor. He's a great man. So it was like, oh my God, I get to go back to work after a year of hardly working, and it's on Bosch, and there's a comfortability because I played the role and I knew the people and they knew me. So it was nice.
He's such a great, you know, as I get older, I just don't like the steroid heroes, you know, the guys mm-hmm. that have fake names, Diesel, The Rock. It's like, come on, enough. But like, Titus Welliver just looks like a regular dude, but he's also a badass, yeah. Like you.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
great
he really actor. Is. Lincoln Lawyer, too. You having fun on that? That's a really good... You play a lawyer, I think, right? You're like kind of a cocky...
No, I played a detective. Cocky, yes. Okay. I played a detective who also went to jail. And they... I'm hoping they might bring me back at some point, too. I hope I get out of jail there, too.
So what was your first paid gig? Do you remember?
Well, that's hard to say. The first time I made enough money to make my insurance, I was John McEnroe's body double in a couple commercials.
Gosh.
Yeah. I was literally his body double.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's like just fun. A fun nugget, right? As you're starting out. Cause I remember when we'd be at the park and you'd be like, yeah, I got this. I think you did a Bruce Willis film or something. You did a couple days on it. And it was just like, wow, this is so cool. And my parents to this day, whenever they would visit, they, when we get back here, they go, how's Jamie doing? Cause like you gave you gave him an earful one time at the park, just about what it's like as an actor and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, can you hang around for a couple more minutes? Can we just keep you for a few more minutes?
Yeah. Keep me as long as you want.
All right. You're kept.
My call time is like 4 a.m. tomorrow, but before that, we're good.
No, we'll do our best. Okay. We'll have more with my good friend, Jamie McShane, the very talented actor here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba coming up next. I wanna cry.